moment today, church, just worshiping. Settle in for a moment and just worship the King of Kings. It's all about Him. Church, we do something that's just so detrimental to our spirits. And we get our minds and our focus off of heaven, and we get our mind and our focus onto us and our situations, our problems, our challenges, everything the world throws at us. And you know, the answer is shifting back to the heart of worship and just go right back to Jesus and focus there, and it just will resolve everything else. It may not happen in an instant, but there'll be a shift going on, and we'll talk about that today. The timing is right for us to transition from looking at us to looking at Him. The timing is right for us to start spending more time focusing on heaven than everything else. We just need to start shifting. We need to shift our attention and our focus more to heaven. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about us. And I'm not saying, folks, that we don't go through some challenges, because we certainly do. And Nicole has mentioned several of those in our body that are going through that, from cancer treatments to other challenges and family. And the list goes on, and physical challenges, whatever it may be. But the answer still lies in heaven. Because if we don't restore ourselves to the heart of worship, if we don't go back to looking at heaven instead of looking at us, the answer is never going to show up. Because we're looking for the answer in the wrong place. Church, I challenge us today to shift back. To shift back. And we're going to pray for that today. And we're going to start preaching a series on that today in the weeks to come. You hold the power in your hand just to shift back your attention to heaven. So whatever you're being faced with today, whether here in the body or online, let's just go back to heaven, the heart of worship. Lord God, I'm just going to worship You today. I'm just going to let things go by the wayside. I'm just going to go focus right back my attention to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, Father, You help me. I pray, Lord God, You help me shift back to looking at You. Shift away from the things that's going on around me, the things that are going on in me, the things going on in my family, my health, my finances, my marriage, all those things, Lord. But the woman that contacted me about the situation in her family, Lord God, Lord, I pray we shift. Lord God, I need a divine shift today. Lord God, I pray for a divine shift not only in my life, but in the lives of Cross Point Church family. Lord God, take us back to that heart of worship where nothing else matters. The only thing that matters is spending time with You, worshiping You, Lord, persevering, being faithful to You more than ever. Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, if we have not been doing that like You want us to do. But Lord God, in Jesus' name, let today be a shift. Let today be the time that You restore us, that we start looking heavenly again, Lord. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, as you're seated, look at somebody and say, today I'm going to make a shift today. I'm shifting today. We're shifting. Good morning. Thank you, sir. Hey, buddy. Good morning, Cross Point Church family. How are we doing today? Wow. Let's do that again. There's the church family. I know, right? Church, how are we doing today? Now there we go, right? That is awesome. Your Ohio State Buckeyes won yesterday. Your Cowboys will win today, so it'll be all good, right? Your Browns maybe, you know, all those football fans, and baseball's coming to a close. And I'm just so happy that the church is filling up and people are coming back into the house from summer vacations and whatnot. So many people joining online. Thank you so much. It has been awesome. Pastor Mike talked about all the platforms we are broadcasting to now. It is such a blessing to welcome everybody into Cross Point Church, the vacation capital of the world, Canton, Ohio, right? So we are just so happy to be here today. I saw one of my pastor friends post on Facebook this morning. He says, I just can't wait to get to the house of the Lord and worship with my church. I don't know about you, but I feel that every Sunday, every Wednesday, that I just can't wait to get here. I hope and pray that that is the desire of your heart as well. Thank you so much. Hey, just a quick announcement that I wanted to make. You know, we've been announcing for weeks that we're going on a missions trip today. We have had to postpone that missions trip down to Bridge of the Gap Ministries in Cincinnati. Several of our team had to withdraw for various reasons. And then I was talking to Pastor Jim this past week, and they are getting displaced again from Bridge of the Gap, the ministry that they've been doing for so long under the bridge of I-75 in downtown Cincinnati. They were displaced a month or so ago, which delayed our announcement. Then they just got displaced again, and they have to move 2 miles away. So because of the withdrawal of some of our people, and they couldn't go, and then he had to go through all this change and whatnot, he said, boy, this is not looking good. Can we push this back? And we just decided we're going to postpone it. So if you were planning on going to that, you already know that we're making a postponement of that. We will announce the next date in the weeks or so to come. Pastor Jim and I will be talking about that. And so I know that we were set to leave today, but all of you that are signed up and ready to go, you know that we're not going. So I would ask the church to pray for that. Pray for Pastor Jim Turner and Bridge the Gap Ministries in Cincinnati. It's a very large ministry doing dinner churches throughout the greater Cincinnati area. They have purchased a group home for men. They're looking to buy a group home for women. It has just moved so quickly. God has blessed it. But now they're in a challenge, they're in a shift, and we're just going to stand and walk with them and pray for them. And, you know, they are one of the ministries that we do support here at Cross Point Church. So they are part of our missions budget. And if you're giving the missions, you are giving to that ministry in Cincinnati. So I would ask that you continue to pray for them. And I am sorry that we had to postpone. But we're going to get down there, and Pastor Jim's encouraged that we will show up. Wow. So much going on. Pastor Mike, thank you for announcing and continuing to talk about Wednesday night journey night. There were quite a few people here Wednesday. And what is so exciting is there are so many people that do not call Cross Point Church their home that they are coming in and fellowshipping. So we want to make sure that we continue to build out the Cross Point family being here on Wednesday nights to support those that are not part of our Cross Point family on a Sunday morning or tied to our church, but they are coming on a Wednesday night for all the programming and celebrate recovery and the meal and whatnot. And they make that Wednesday night their church night. So we want to make sure that we're here. So come out like Pastor Mike talked about. So I want to go through and talk about a new series that we're going to dive into today. This is going to be a challenge because this is going to challenge your pastor. This is going to challenge you because we're going to learn some things today that you may not have heard before. It's going to be a little bit deeper. It's going to be a little bit more challenging probably because you're going to hear some things you haven't heard. We're going to talk about a lot of Greek today. Go figure, right? Now, you know I'm fluent in Greek and Hebrew, right? Whoa, right? I'll just do my very best. You know, I think I missed that class or two in seminary, right, Pastor Mike? You know, those are the classes we just wanted to get to so quickly, right? Let's go to the Greek class. Let's go to the Hebrew class. But we're going to talk about that. I've just been feeling for months, church, that God was shifting things. Maybe you're starting to figure out the messages that I have been speaking and preaching on this series for the last several months is leading up to something. It's leading up to the series we're launching today. We talked a couple months ago about the path that you were on, right? We talked about the path that we're all on in life, that your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. You may want to get someplace and you're heading that direction you think, but you know, you end up finding out that the direction you're headed is not the intended direction that you wanted to go, and you end up being someplace that you never intended to be. We talked about that. Then we talked about on that path, God starts to stir you up, right? God starts to stir you up as a person, stir you up to help stir other people up, stir you up to stir up your giftings that God has blessed you with. Why? So we lived stirred, as a stirred people, that God's constantly doing something inside of us, right? Why? So we go all the way. We ran in then to the halfway series, talking about we're not in it halfway. We're not in it just a more than halfway. We are in it all the way. And we concluded that last week, and now we lead up to this. And what is this? This is the shift. We're talking about a divine shift, not only maybe in you, your church, your relationships, your family, what have you. God is a God of divine shifting. You're going to learn some things today that you're going to apply for the next several weeks as we go through the series. Now, I am going to encourage you, church, especially today, to go scan the QR code on your bulletin, or the one you see online on the Facebook page. There's so much out there. But specifically, if you're sitting in the house today, make sure you get your bulletin. Scan that code with your phone. Everybody's got these phones today that can scan those codes. All you have to do is open up your camera app, put it right over that QR code, wait till it focuses in. You'll see the little yellow box pop up. You touch it. It goes right to the sermon notes for my message today. You'll probably need those. You'll probably need to refresh it, go back to those before next week, because it's going to get a little heavy today. I'm going to try my best to give you some information today that will help you in the weeks to come. I'm going to ask you to do this. As I speak today, I want you to think about your life and how it applies to you. You start thinking about what God's got you going through and the shifting and the time and the seasons that you're in, and we'll talk about those, and you'll start to see the correlation between the scriptures and how things come alive, and they come alive for you today. Your pastor is pretty much a practical application pastor. I teach a lot about topical things, like how does it apply to me today? We're going to dive into some of the scriptures today. We'll talk about the backgrounds of those scriptures, but more than not, we will see how that applies to you today. So I'm just going to ask you to continue to keep that mindset as we move into this series, because I believe that there is a shifting going on, not only in our families, our church, our society. There's this shift that's going on, and you're going to learn about that as we move into this series. So what is a shift? We might as well just start and say, what is a shift? It's a change or a reposition. It's a change or repositioning. This series is all about preparing your ways for better days. It's about preparing your ways for better days. And today we're going to talk about timing shifts, which you're going to need to understand a little bit as you move into what we talk about in the weeks to come. Next week we'll talk about thinking differently. Then we'll talk about being different. And then we'll talk about doing different. And then we'll talk about living different. Several weeks, and we're going to start diving into shifts in your life, and everybody understands probably what that shift is. You just don't understand how really it applies to timing and seasons and whatnot, and we're going to dive into that. And let me start by saying this. If you're not willing to make a divine shift, you're just going to end up right back where you started, right? You're never going to move past where you're at. You're going to be there. And then you're going to wonder why you're always there. And one of the divine shifts that I can just jump right into, because we used this example for weeks, was Abram. And if you were here listening to some of the messages or online tuning in, you know that we talked about Abram leaving his hometown of Ur, right? Because God called him to leave. What does that mean? He called him to shift. Now, this guy was in a personal situation of living every day. The timing of his life, he was just home. And God called him to make a divine shift. And he does that, right? Right away, he prepares himself and he starts to make a shift. The Bible talks about shifting a lot. We don't necessarily see it. We don't necessarily understand it, but I'm going to explain to you the best I can today some of that and the timing and the seasons of how that all applies. Now, there are four major shifts that take place in God's Word. major big ones. Now, there's a lot of small ones. Abram's one of the smaller ones, but that's a big one as far as smaller. But there are four major, primary, they're called primary shifts in God's word. The first primary shift, just giving you some background, is the garden to the grave. God created man and woman in the garden, perfect, right? Sin comes in and interrupts that. And we go from perfection in the garden to a shift to going to heaven or hell by the grave. A shift took place. It wasn't God's design, but he knew it was going to happen. So there's this shift from the garden to the grave. And then we move into a season, a dispensation of the law, God governing by the law throughout the Old Testament, and shifts to grace when Jesus showed up, right? The regiment, the traditions, all the things that many of you know about, it's by law, but then there's a shift, and Jesus shows up and says, you don't have to do anything on the law anymore. The shift takes place because Jesus showed up, and now you get a free gift, and the gift is grace. I forgive you. Accept the free gift, right? That's a huge shift. And then the next shift that takes place is Jesus leaving planet Earth, and his earthly ministry ends. But the earthly ministry of the church in that season shifts. Now we're the church. And you're in that season. You're in that shift. We're living that shift right now. You're in what's called the church season, right? And that's the next big shift. The last really big primary shift takes place when the church leaves planet Earth and heads to heaven, and the shifting that takes place. That's a divine shift. Those that are part of the church shift. Those that are not part of the church stay. And it's still a shift. Those are the four big shifting things that go on that the Bible talks about. The big divine shifts, right? Changes. But there are many under that, right? And so we're going to dive in today talking about the timing shifts, which is the title of today's message, timing shifts. And you've heard this saying, it goes, timing is everything. And sometimes we understand that, and sometimes we just don't. See, you can do anything, but you can't do everything at the same time. Time is a huge thing in your life. Huge, right? Understanding God's timing is the key to unlocking these divine shifts in your life. Abram had a divine shift. And not only did he have a shift, but he had a timing element to the shift. God asked him to leave Ur and orchestrated the shift through time. And you know, we talked about how that corresponded with his father, Terah, deciding on his own, he was going to leave Ur as well. And the scripture, as you remember, talks about him leading Abram out of Ur. One's being called to leave time, the other one is leaving on their own time. But God orchestrated the time to be the same, and orchestrated the time to be the same season. And they left together. So they take off, and they land at Haran, the city, right? We talked about that. And they stayed for a time, a season. Terah stayed and never left. And we talked about his timing was he stopped and he settled. Abram didn't stay there. He continued to move on. He shifted from there and headed down to Canaan. We spoke and talked about that in that series. All this going on, right? Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells you there is timing and there is seasons. We have read this scripture. Some of you, many of you know this scripture well. Ecclesiastes 3:1 goes like this. For everything, there's a season. Everything has a season. Abram had a season of living in Ur, he had a season of leaving, but in the midst of all that, there was timing that took place. So the timing shifted his season, just like timing shifts your season. For everything, there is a season and a time for everything or every matter under heaven. We need to understand the timing and the seasons God ordains for us. Now, this is going to be different than what you have probably heard before, but the practical explanation, church, goes like this. Even doing the right thing at the wrong time will cause you to miss the mark every time. And you think about what that means, and that means you may be doing something, thinking the season you're in and the timing, you're going to do the right thing, and it's going to be fitting, but if you're doing the right thing at the wrong, right, the wrong time, it just seems like it's not going to fit. And my point is, God orchestrates seasons in our lives. And then in the midst of those seasons, there's this time element that sits in there. And you're going to learn today that that time element is a lot different than what we think it is. You're going to learn today it's a whole lot different than what you may think it is, because we think chronological time. And there is that in the Bible, but there's also some other types of time, and you're going to learn that today. So let's dive in and understand the time of the season. A dispensation of time, right? A season. The season of life that you're in. Some are in school season, Malone students, right? Some are in the work season, and others are in these seasons. You have multiple seasons in your life. And again, in the midst of those seasons is timing elements. And the timing element shows up when God transitions you from one season to the next, right? Because his time is in there. Right? And his timing and your timing may not be the same timing. Boy, doesn't that frustrate us. Right? Boy, you're going to learn that today. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it reads like this, as far as understanding some seasons. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. So there's 200 leaders, and they brought their families. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course of action, or the best course for Israel to take. What's going on here? All right. So David, King David, not yet, King David's coming to be king, taken over for King Saul, and all the tribes of Israel, all the people associated, right, decide they want David to be king. So they all come together in the city of Hebron and say, we're going to anoint this guy's our new king, right? This is the guy we want. And that's what's going on here. So all the tribes are coming together, right? And all the tribes are bringing a number of different things. Some are bringing a bunch of people. Like one of them is bringing 120,000 men, a bunch of equipment, a bunch of stuff that they think that they need to maybe do battle with kings, whatever. But they're coming together at that time. This tribe doesn't bring all kinds of soldiers and equipment, and they don't bring all kinds of stuff. They're bringing 200 leaders into Hebron to help David become king. And the tribe of Issachar says, we're going to bring 200 leaders and their families because they understood the signs of the time and they knew the best course of action to take, the best for Israel. And that was for David to be king now. And Bible scholars kind of differ on what that means. Some think it means they understood the political climate of the day. Some think that they understood the militarial climate of the day. Some thought that they understood the spiritual climate of the day. It didn't matter. They had different perspectives of what they understood. But I'm not here to debate any Bible scholar as to what they're thinking, but here's what I know. The Bible says they understood something. And what did they understand? They understood a sign that it was time for David to be king. And that's really important, because sometimes we don't understand the sign of the time in our lives. We don't get it. And why is that? Because we're not looking for it. But here's 200 men that said, you know, all these tribes are bringing all this stuff. Let's just send 200 that understand the sign of the transition that's going on. Boy, it was the fewest number sent of all the tribes, right? It was the fewest number. Some sent up to 120,000 men. Some sent 20,000, 10,000, 5,000, 60,000, 50,000. they sent 200 leaders that understood something, and that was the sign of the time, right? And they all come together to help David become king. I want to understand the signs of my times. That's the only tribe in the scripture, folks, if you go back and do your studies, the only tribe that sends men to understand the signs of the change of the time. Everybody else, no, there's no other scripture that references that. What a core critical statement. And it's buried in the word, and we don't pay much attention to it, but I want to understand the signs of the times of Cross Point Church. I want to understand the signs of the times of my family. I want to understand the signs of the times of your family, and so do you. How do you do that? You got to understand what it means to understand, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So let's talk about understanding the season, right? So Isaiah, one of the major prophets in God's word, if you know the word, in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, he's prophetically talking about all the things going on in the Israelites' lives, right? Their rebellion, transition, their captivity by the Babylonians, their release, all those. He's prophetically talking about all that. And he talks prophetically about a bunch of things, time and seasons, and how he breaks it down. So today, we can understand as best we can what's going on. Not necessarily just for that time, but for our time today. And I want to read some scriptures, and I picked some that you understood, that you've heard before, some that you maybe not. But he's talking prophetically in Isaiah about the destruction of the scriptures I'm going to read, the destruction of the Babylonian Empire that had held them in captivity for 70 years, and then they got delivered. And we set the stage weeks ago when I talked about that in one of the other series, remember? So here we go, Isaiah prophetically talking about seasons and time for this situation as God reveals that this empire is coming down. And this man is going to tell you how it's going to happen, and some of it you know, some of it you don't, some's hidden, some's going to be revealed. And it's all wrapped around seasons and time. So let's jump right away to Isaiah 48:6. It says, now he's prophetically speaking, you have heard, now see all this. And will you not declare it? So you've heard it, now you see it. This is talking about the destruction of the Babylonian Empire. You have heard about it's going to happen. You see it's happening. And will you not declare it? That means pay attention and then proclaim something's going to happen, is what it means. Pay attention. Something's coming. There's a shift coming. There's a divine shift. God is going to bring this empire down, and this shift is going to happen in this season at his timing, God's timing. Pay attention. The practical means pay attention, listen, and then proclaim it. It's coming down. In your life, pay attention to what God is doing. Think about it. Look at it. Pay attention and then proclaim it. Is that practical application? From this time forth, he says, I will announce to you new things. To you, Cross Point Church, I will announce new things, God speaks, right? Hidden things that you have not known. Those hidden things that you don't know, God's going to reveal. Those hidden things that they didn't understand back then, God's going to reveal. And he's telling them, God's going to reveal them to you. Hey, I like that. Anybody with me? Right? I like that. Isaiah talks of the shift from what God did to what God will spring forth to do. This is the next scripture, right? Isaiah 43:19. This is the divine shift from the past to the future. Now, we've used this before. We've talked about this before. I'm not sure we've dove into it like we're going to dive into it for a minute or two. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'm doing something new. A new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you perceive it? The question, don't you see it? Right? I will make a new way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And verse 18, which I don't have on there, leading up to verse 19, says, but forget everything in the past. It's got nothing to do, and it's not even compared to what I'm going to do in the future. This empire's coming down. What you're going to face is going to be so much better than what you just went through. This shift is going to be so big, you're going to experience something so powerful. So let this, just let it go, because I got this new thing coming. I got it coming. You got to hold on to that, is what he's saying. You've got to hold on to that, okay? Isaiah 42:9, it says, see, as I said, is what that means. When he says, see, I told you so, right? The former things have taken place. You ran into captivity. You were in captivity all these years. However, and new things I will declare. They're better than before, church. Before they spring into being, I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to announce them. Church, your pastor is standing here today announcing it. And I set you up for months for today. The timing is right for today. And he's saying, I'm going to announce these things. Are you listening? He's saying. And they're going to spring forth, and they're new. Well, spring means there's a shift of time. You had this, now he's going to spring forth to something better, new this. If you remember, they came back to Jerusalem, they started rebuilding the temple, restoring the city, and doing all those things. Remember we talked about that? There it is, right? There's a shift going on. This spring forth means there's a shift. But he uses the word new here, folks. And now we got to start getting into some of the weeds. The word new talks about a shift, right? It's new, so there's got to be a shifting going on, right? This is going to be new. This is going to be new for us. This is going to be new for you, church, right? This is going to be a shift of some new things. Well, what does new? You say, I know exactly. This new is different from what it was in the old. True. But in the Bible here, there's two Greek words when it talks about something new. There's the Greek word called neos here. The Bible uses the word neos in the Greek. It talks about new in number. The Bible talks about kainos word. That's K-A-I-N-O-S, kainos. It talks about new in not only number, but it's different. So neos means it's new, but in numbers only. It's like a duplication. But kainos means it's going to be new, and it's going to be not only new in number, but it's going to be new in something created or different. Let me give you an example. Some of you buy new cars, right? So you buy a new car, and let me get this practical explanation. Each year, the car manufacturers put out a new model. Some of those models are the exact same model as the previous year, right? They recycle it, and they just it's the new model. That's a neos new model, right? It's a duplication of the previous year. Yeah, they change the air conditioning or they make some things so you buy it. Same with the iPhone, okay? Every year they put out the iPhone, right? It's no big different from the previous model. They just do some tweaks here and there. But it's the same phone, does the same thing, and pretty much the same features are all there. Same with the car. However, when you do a kainos new, Greek kainos for new, you create something brand new. It is not the same thing as the previous model, although it will be the same neos type of duplication in numbers, but it will be created all brand new. Case in point, some of the times the car manufacturers put out a brand new model of a car, and then they duplicate that model for that year, but they never had the model before, right? You go out and buy it, right? We go out and buy it. It's new. It's created. That's a kainos model. And then they duplicate it in numbers and sell it, which is a neos new. And those are the two Greek words. And this is what's being used in God's word. So is it a duplication of the past, Or is it something brand new that's never happened before? That is your life. Watch what happens, okay? Just to make it simple, neos new is a duplication. Kainos new is a new creation. Now, God can do a duplication in your life of something he did in the past and make it today with some tweaks, right? Or he could do something brand new in your life. Kainos new. That's what's going on in Scripture. And don't think for 1 minute, folks, that it doesn't happen. It happened back then. It doesn't happen today. And that's the shift. So you have to really understand that when God starts to announce these hidden things to us, you got to really understand and think about, is this God duplicating something he gave me in the past for just this new season, time shift? Or is he creating something brand new for me to walk into? And you got to look and discern that. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Right? So your new season can be a duplicate of something previous, or it can be brand new. And discerning that is kind of important. Let me give you an example of Kainos new, right? Created new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Kainos new. You're new. You are not a duplicated. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you are created new, the Bible says. You're different. You're different. And you're not a duplicate of anything. You are created new. That's Kainos new, right? You're not an upgraded bottle, church. You're better quality. You're better in nature. And you've got power you never had before. That is a Kainos new that the Scripture talks about a lot. Jesus used neos new, a duplication, as well as Kainos new in this Scripture. Let's read, okay? It's about the wineskins, Matthew 9:17. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. This is Jesus talking, right? If they do, the skins will burst. You're putting something new in something old, right? The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No. They pour new wine into new wineskins, and they're both preserved. What does that mean? The new wine is neos wine. It's a duplicated wine, right? It's God's Spirit. It's the same duplication, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change, and God's Spirit's going to be poured into you, the wineskin. But if you're not changed, and you're pouring God's Spirit into the old you, and you're not transformed into a Kainos new creation, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. And that's what he's talking about here, right? So what's the point? Point's this. In order for God to prepare us for a shift, he changes us. God is bringing a new season into your life, both neos, which is a duplication of the season, and a Kainos new creation season. He can do both. He can do both. So what's the practical meaning here, Pastor? Here it is. God is giving us more of what we've had in the past, but he's also going to make some radical changes and give us some new things. Same thing he did with the Israelites, he's going to do with us today. Those are some shifts. And when we recognize that, church, that there's divine shifts in our seasons and the timing of those shifts, and it's God's timing. When we understand that some of it's Kainos new and some of it's Neos new, that some of it's a duplication of what he's done for us in the past, some of it's a Kainos new, which is brand new created. When we understand all that, we'll start to understand the seasons that we're in and why we're in and the timing of this shift that's taking place in our lives. Wow, it's getting deeper, right? Uh-oh. Now it's going to get a little bit more challenging, right? Have you ever noticed that when God begins something new in your life, it's often something that's hidden, right? He often keeps it a secret right up until the last minute because we say, God, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't I know? If I would have saw this coming, I would have did something so much different, right? Lord, if you just would have told me. But the Scripture says, I will announce it to you. And then you have to pay attention and then proclaim it. We just read it, right? I'm going to give you signs of the times that something's coming. Pay attention. You think it's hidden, and it is, but I'm going to let you know. Let's go back to Isaiah 48:6. Let's talk about the timing of revealing these hidden things. You have heard, now see all this, and will you not declare it? Again, pay attention and then proclaim. From this time forth, from this time and their time forth to today, I will announce to you new things, both duplicated neos things, and I will give you the kainos new, brand new created things. Those things were hidden before, and you didn't know about them. But I'm going to announce them, and I'm going to bring them forth in your life. Church, that's a shift, and you're going to get it. The question is, are we paying attention for it? And then once we get it, are we going to proclaim it? Are we going to let everybody know? God's shifted me. Right? All right. Let's keep going. Let's talk a little bit about that biblical time events. There is time events, right? These timing shifts in God's word. Let's talk time. God's time, my time, your time, every time, right? Right? Now, the Bible talks about different types of time. And here we go. In the season that we're in the season that the Israelites were in all the season situations they were going, there's time in there, right? Two types of time the Bible talks about. There's chronos time. The Greek word is chronos, right? There's chronos time. What is that? That's chronological time, which is what we all understand really well. Chronological time, right? What is that? Minutes, hours, days, months, years. That's what you live in, right? Okay? We all understand that, right? Chronos time. There's also kairos time. Kairos time. Not kainos, new. It's kairos. That means Greek, the right time. The opportunity time. The strategic time in your season for a shift. It means the right time. Kairos time. We live in the chronos time, but God gives us the kairos Greek time, the shift, the right time, the opportunity time. Pastor, give me an example. I got healed of cancer. I was living those treatments in chronological chronos time, but God came in and gave me a kairos time event, and it shifted me to a healing. It's a kairos time. It's all through the Bible. You know it is. Because Jesus healed a bunch of people. Kairos time. I told you to get some Greek today. It's going to kind of challenge your mind a little bit, right? So, chronological time, we're living in it. Kairos time shows up. These big strategic opportunity events of time shifts us. But there are two things the scripture teaches us, folks, to get us through the chronological time of chronos time, to get us to the kairos moment. The opportunity, the healing, the situation, the strategic opportunity that takes place, and he comes in with this kairos moment of timing shifts. There's two things the Bible is just filled with, and we just don't have the time to get into them, but I'm going to give you the two words. It's perseverance and faithfulness during your chronos, chronological life. It's perseverance and faithfulness. Paul gives us the example, Galatians 6:9. It's a great scripture. We've read it a million times. You've heard it, but watch what happens. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Perseverance. At just the right time, kairos time, the vent, you'll reap a harvest of blessings if you don't give up perseverance. So your perseverance is there. Your faithfulness is there in chronological chronos time. To get to the kairos moment, faithfulness and perseverance. Think about your life today, church. Faithfulness and perseverance is where we have to live to get to the kairos time shift moment. Is what the scripture teaches us. What a deep message today to set us up for a series, right? Here's the thought, a little bit practical. Our actions and our attitudes in the chronos times of preparing, sowing, believing, and persevering are what determines whether God will divinely shift you into a kairos time of fresh and strategic opportunities. There is the rubber hitting the road. Now we ask ourselves, am I persevering and being faithful during the chronos time of my life, what we live every day? And that's how you get to the kairos moment, the opportunity for you, the shift in your time, in your season. That's how you get there. That's why the Bible always talks about the trials and the tribulations in the chronos time of your life. That's why we have to persevere. That's why we have to stay faithful in those, because to get to the kairos pouring, the strategic opportunity, you've got to be faithful and persevere through the chronos chronological time of life. Divine shift, right? Right? God wants to divinely shift our thinking from becoming discouraged during the times to realizing the necessity of the chronos time of your life. See, during the chronos time of our lives, we're not losing or wasting time. You are actually investing time into your kairos moment, the opportunity in your life. And we look at that time as wasting, or it's not happening for me, Pastor. And there is the reason that's maybe not happening for me or you. It's because we're not persevering and we're not being faithful during that time. We're whining and complaining about it. So God says, well, wait. You were only in captivity in Babylon for 50 years. I'm going to make it now 70. Because you ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. Let's just leave him there. Whoa. Abram, Sarah, I told you I would bless you with a son. Nah, I can't do it. Wait till you see it here in a second. Let's whine about it some more, right? Remember Abram and Sarah? Abram got a promise, right? We talked about that here weeks ago. He was promised a son and descendants as numerous as the stars, right? That was promise, right? That's a shift, folks. That's a divide shift, right? What'd they do? They entered into a 24-year period of chronos, chronological time. And God's looking for perseverance and faithfulness before the sun arrives. The shift was coming. Do you remember what they did? They laughed. First, too old. Nobody has a kid my age. No one can do it. No one gets that. No, can't happen, right? A divine shift is coming. God puts them into a 24-year period of chronos, chronological time. He says, let's see if you persevere and you're faithful to this. Genesis 18:10. Then one of them said, here, God is now sending three visitors. The scripture talks about the three visitors that show up to Abram and Sarah's house, and they roll out the red carpet. It's really God sending them a message, right? And there's three of them, and here one of them says to them this. That's what the scripture is. Then one says to them, I surely will return to you about this time, chronological time, next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And that's where they laughed. God sent a messenger, three visitors, the Bible says. And one of them says, listen, I'm going to come back in a year. You're going to have a son. There ain't no way. I'm too old. See, church, when we say I'm too old, it can't be done, I can't get healed, I can't make a transition or a divine shift in my life, you are just telling God you can't do it. And they laughed. I'm too old. They both laughed. I'm too old. Sarah says, I'm just too old. No one my age, as a woman my age, has a child. Ha ha, I can't have it. 24 years now they had to wait, right? Remember the scripture I just read? It says, I will announce hidden things in your life. Don't you perceive it? Don't you see it? The announcement of the hidden thing showed up in three visitors. One of them said, in a year, I'm going to come back, and you're going to have a son. And instead of saying, that's God, it's got to, because I can't have a child when I'm old. It's got to be God. They laughed. God revealed the hidden thing, and they laughed. God can reveal hidden things to us. The scripture teaches us that. Isaiah said it. I'm going to reveal those hidden things to you. And instead of laughing, we should be proclaiming what he's going to do. God's going to heal me. God's going to change me. God's going to give me a better job. I know it's going to happen. I'm proclaiming it. It's hidden. I don't see it yet, but I know this new situation is going to show up. I know it because my God's bigger than all that. He teaches us that. And because they laughed about it, he took them into a period of 24 years. They had a son named Ishmael because they couldn't wait any longer. They didn't believe God. Right? Isaac was born later, right? The promised son. 24 years of chronos time, chronological time, just living, to a kairos moment. He shows up. Let me give you some more examples real quick of time shifts, right? Moses, right? Moses is not banished, but he runs out to the desert, runs away from Egypt, right? He's in the desert for 40 years. God comes to give him a divine shift of his time, says, you're going back to Egypt to rescue my people. Oh, wait, whoa. Not me. I'm not qualified. Here we go again, right? Same thing we do today, church. Lord, I can't preach. I'm not qualified. I don't have the ability. I can't lead CR. I don't have the gifts. I don't. He doesn't ask us to do it. He says, just follow what I am laying out in front of you, and I will come in and make the shift for you. So he says, go back, shift from being this, living in this village, and head back. So he does. Finally goes back, right? And he goes through all the situations in Egypt. Let my people go. And finally, Pharaoh lets the people go, and they take off. And it's only going to be a short journey out what? To where? To the promised land. Who was at the promised land before? Well, I know a guy that was there a while back. Abraham was there, right? Moses is now going to lead them into the promised land. But they stayed in the desert for 40 years. Why? They just didn't believe it was going to happen. They didn't believe God was going to give that divine shift. Here we go, more chronological time. They weren't faithful and they didn't persevere. So God says, stay there for 40 years. This is you and me today, church. This is me. This is you, right? This is us. Paul. Watch what happens with Paul. You've never heard this before, I doubt, but let's see if you have. Paul is a Christian hater. You heard that, right? Heading out on the Damascus Road, he's going to go out, kill me some Christians. Jesus shows up, right, and converts his life. He's living in Chronos, chronological time, as a Christian hater. Jesus meets him on this road. He has a huge kairos moment and gets converted. And what happens? He moves now to being a non-believer hater to being a believer follower, but he ends up going from a chronos time of just being a hater to a kairos moment of this big thing, conversion, to living chronos time again. Now he's a believer. He's back into, but now he's a believer, right? Now what happens? Over a decade goes by of really nothing. But he's living chronological time again. But then another kairos moment shows up of time, timing shift. What is that? Remember, it's the right opportunity for you and I. Now the right opportunity shows up for Paul, Acts 13:2, over a decade later from his conversion. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, him and Barnabas, right? The Holy Spirit set apart me and Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have been called to do. Those two words I introduced to you, church, here a few minutes ago, perseverance and faithfulness, show up. Perseverance, they're still believers, and their faithfulness is they are fasting and praying and worshiping. Still. I'm staying with it, Pastor. No matter what it looks like, I'm staying it. I believe this shift is coming in my life. I'm staying with it. I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to be faithful. There it is. And God says, okay, you did it. The work which I have called you to do, go do it. And Paul and his work and your life was changed because of a kairos moment right there in the Bible. Comes in and shifts him. He's persevered. He's faithful. Right? Church, let's bring this all together. We talked about new seasons, right? Neos, a duplicated season. God gave you a duplication of something great. A kainos, new created thing in your life. Bible talks all about that. We talked about that, right? We talked about timing shifts in that new season, either a duplicated season or a brand new something completely created new for you, right? It's new. That's an opportunity for you. So in essence, our lives are made up of new seasons with time shifting in each season. Wow. Let's talk about the fullness of time as we wrap things up today in that season that you're in. The fullness of time in Scripture is a word called plural. Plural. So we got new things, we got shifts of time in our lives, and all of a sudden, the fullness of your life, the fullness of that opportunity, the accomplishments of that situation that you're going to go into is called plural. That is going to be, that's a Greek word, it's going to come in and it's going to be big. After years of Chronos time, Kairos time arrives, and then there's a plural Greek event. The plural means there's an accomplishment. There's a fullness. The clock is reset, right? There's something happening. There is something happening. This is the plural, right? Watch what happens in Galatians 4:4. Watch. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. After years and years and years, church, of chronological Chronos time, a Kairos event happened. Jesus shows up. And Jesus was the accomplishment. Jesus was the right place, right man for the right time. He was the opportunity. He was strategic. He was the big plural Greek fullness for you and I event. It's right there in the Scripture. And then as soon as Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus starts to grow up, he enters chronological time, right? Chronos time. Grabs some disciples. Starts living, preaching, his ministry, his earthly ministry is 3 years. The disciples follow him, right? They hang out with this guy. So they're all going through these intense years with Jesus in chronological Chronos time. But then at the end of that 3 years, when Jesus is walking on the face of the planet, a Kairos moment shows up again, right? The right opportunity, he goes to the cross. They didn't understand it. And then a bigger Kairos moment. There's a resurrection after he dies. Then there's another Kairos moment. There's an ascension to heaven. And then there's a Pentecostal outpouring. And then the plural event, the Greek plural event, is the fullness of all that accomplishment. And you're sitting in a church today because of it. And the disciples almost missed it. And church, I don't want you to miss a divine shift in your life today. I don't want you to miss it. And for the next several weeks, we're going to preach it, talk about it. But the disciples almost missed it. After Jesus was resurrected, John 21:3, Simon Peter says, hey, it's over. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. The other disciples say, we'll come too. They all said, so they went out on a boat, but they caught nothing. What happened? It's all over. I don't think it's going to happen. It's done. Hey, it was a good run. It's 3 years, right? What'd they do? They went back to their Chronos, chronological time lives. Let's go fishing. We're fishermen. Let's just go back. No. Church, God gave you something new. And that new is a Kairos new. That is a new creation. His name was Jesus. His name is Jesus. Brand new. Changes everything. Shifts you from where you're at to where you're going to go. It's different. And they almost missed it. A few days later, they were fishing, and a few days later, Peter's preaching, and 3,000 people got saved. They wouldn't have gotten saved if they would have stayed on the boat. And if they would have missed the shift in their personal lives, they would never have saw it. Never would have been gone. Church, don't miss that, right? As we conclude, there's a story of God's word about the pool of Bethesda. We've read it before. We talked about it. There's a paralyzed man there. He's trying to get into the water for 36 years. Chronos time, chronological time, 36 years, okay? Scripture teaches us that when the angel would come down and stir the water, or as we read, bubbles up the water, the first person in gets healed. Right? John 5:6, when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. He asked him, would you like to get well? No, Jesus, I've been here for 36 years not trying to get well. Yeah, I want to be well. John 5:7, I can't, sir. Of course, he doesn't recognize and understand who Jesus is at the time. The sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles or is stirred. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Church, this is our lives. Pay attention. Here we go. Although he was waiting, he really had no hope of being healed. No anticipation of being healed. No divine moment. No divine shift. 36 years. He's just going to go through the motions, but has no real anticipation or expectation that he's going to get changed. But church, I'm going to tell you something. The Kairos change was standing right beside him. The opportunity, the event, the right time, the right person, it was right there, right next to him, and he didn't know it. It was hidden. So the question was, do you want to be well? Do you want a supernatural touch? Here's where a lot of us live, and why we don't get the divine shift, the timing in our lives, is in this and many other biblical stories. Although he was waiting, he didn't believe it was going to happen. But he still waited. He was in a Kairos moment, a supernatural opportunity of a strategic time event. Jesus was standing next to him. But it's hidden. He didn't understand it. But that fullness, that plural event was going to happen. But something robbed him of that plural Greek supernatural big fullness of your life. His discouragement overtook him. And that happens today, church. That happens to us. See, we get so accustomed to working hard and seeing little fruit that when the time for that divine shift comes, we don't have the faith to move into the new season. We don't have the ability to make the timing shift to move into the new season. Why? We're so discouraged that we don't see all the events happening, the big things, the plural things. And God's just asking us to be faithful and persevere. It will show up. So we stay locked into this chronos, chronological time of just living. Because we're so discouraged. And the more that we live, the more years that pass by, whether it's be for Abram or Sarah or Paul or any of them, the years click on, and the divine shift is right next beside us, and the pool is right there, but we're so discouraged for the last 36 years that we can't make it there when the real Kairos change and transition and transformation and the new is standing right beside me, just like today. Standing right beside me, standing right beside you, right next to you, sometimes hidden, but he's there. Are you going to pay attention? Isaiah wrote about, and proclaim it without seeing it. And then that new comes in. It's going to be maybe a duplication of what God did for you before. It's going to probably be something really brand new that he's going to take you into, but you've got to be persevering and faithful to get it. Don't be discouraged if you don't see it. Just believe that Jesus is going to make it happen because he's right next to you. And I know many of us are like that. Our discouragement gets the best of us. God wants to divinely shift you to where you're at, to where you're going. He's got all these plans and things and purpose and things. And I sat with somebody this past week and said, I just don't have a purpose. I don't have a life. I don't have nothing. I'm X amount of years old and I've got nothing. I said, Jesus is the answer. You got to watch online this Sunday because there's a divine shift coming if you just listen to the message. Church, many of us are living there, and I want to pray for you before we close today. If you're living there, I want to pray for you. I know many of your stories, and a lot of us are living in these situations, and God wants to divinely take you through it. We just got to continue to persevere and have faith. That perseverance and faithfulness determines the Kairos moment, and then determines how big the Kairos moment is, the plural, the fullness of it. God did this for me. God took a poor guy that had nothing, that was a nobody, that had a horrible childhood, and he ordained them to preach the gospel. And today in Canton, Ohio, he preaches the gospel. A nobody. Bow your hearts with me today. I want to pray for you before we close. If that is you today, church, and you're struggling with that, and you need a divine shift in your life, in weeks to come, we're going to talk to you about teaching you how to think different, to do different, to be different, to live different. And the shift is going to happen, but you need to get over the discouragement and persevere and have faith that God is going to shift you. If that is you today and you're struggling, I just want to pray with you. I don't want to call your name out. I'm not going to call you down front. I just want to pray corporately. If that is you, just slip up your hand and I would pray. Thank you. Just raise your hand high. If that is you today, so many hands. Anybody else? So many hands. Anybody? If you're watching online today, just raise your hand. Hit the button that says, I want to raise my hand. Hit the button that says, I need a prayer set in. I believe, church, that the shift is coming. God's got me all bound up with this. It's going to happen. Are we going to be ready? When God comes in and starts to shift, he duplicates something that we've had in the past, or he gives us something brand new. Are we ready? Or is discouragement going to rob us of it? Anybody else? Father God, I pray right now that those who are discouraged, me at times as well, Lord God, I pray. Lord God, I pray that we are just going to persevere, that we're going to allow our faith to rise up, Lord God. Father, let us see those things that are hidden. Your scripture says you will announce them. Lord God, let us all pay attention for the announcement. Maybe it's somebody coming alongside of us and saying, hey, I got a word for you. Maybe it's something that happens that we don't even pay attention to. Lord God, let us be attuned to the shift in our lives, regardless of what it is. Lord, let us persevere through this chronological time that we're living, to get to the Kairos moment for the plural event. Let a shift take place, Lord God. Father, for those that raised their hand, those that didn't, Father God, I pray that you take away this day, on this day at Cross Point Church, their discouragement. And let them walk out of the sanctuary today or shut off their device in victory, saying, I will pay attention. I will proclaim my divine shift, the timing shift of my life. It is today. And I proclaim it in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me. And let's go out not being discouraged. Why? Because this is what our God does for all of us. God bless you. This is